Hello everyone. I'm going to start with some information about the African Studies Center and our collection, and I'll try to explain why we wanted to shift from a classification to a work-based indexing system. And then Marlene will continue with the second half, which is about the challenges we faced during the procedure, which took some 5 to 6 years, by the way. I'll start with the African Studies Center. This is an independent foundation associated with Leiden University, and its aims are to undertake research on Africa and the social sciences, to maintain a specialist library and documentation department, and to facilitate the dissemination of information on Africa. Our collection is a broad-based collection in the field of the social sciences and the humanities, and it is the only collection in the Netherlands focusing entirely on Africa. Roughly half of the collection is in English, about a third in French, and the rest is divided between German, Dutch, Afrikaans, Portuguese and Spanish. Current holdings comprise, as you can see, 75,000 books, 2,000 periodicals, of which 600 current subscriptions, 25,000 microfiches of development plans, and 1,000 documentaries and feature films. There's also a growing digital collection, providing access to various types of electronic resources. Now, subject access to the ASC collection is through the online catalogue, which contains entries not only for books, journals and films, but also for articles. About a total of 150,000 entries today, over half are articles. Subject access until 2006 was provided by numerical codes based on the UDC, including the 10th Dutch edition of 1970, very old, and the French edition of Class 3, published in 1952, even older. To take into account developments in African studies, we had built many numbers of our own use. And we had an alphabetical card index to the UDC codes located in the library. Effective use of this system was not self-evident and frequently required the assistance of the library staff. As you can see in this example of the code for Sahel, in which you had to add number of backslashes and apostrophes around the code. Moreover, with the development of automated library services in the 1990s, there was a growing number of remote users who didn't have access to the card index and who had to make do on their own. The idea then grew to switch to a more user-friendly word-based indexing system for subject access and to convert all the UDC codes used until then into the new system. At first, we had hoped to be able to switch to an existing word-based system, preferably one that was also used by other libraries with African Studies collections. The language should be English and also Dutch, because many of our library users are Dutch speakers, of course. However, after looking at other indexing systems, we had to conclude that there was no really suitable ready-made system. And for example, these are a few examples. We looked at the Library of Congress subject headings mentioned before today. This is obviously too large and complex for our use. Another example is the OECD macro thesaurus, which is insufficiently detailed for a number of key subject areas of our collection. So short of constructing our own word-based indexing system from scratch, the only other option was to start with what we already had, the UDC. Now this option, which we called UDC option, could be realized in two ways. First, by making an index to the UDC codes we used, or secondly, by extracting a thesaurus from them. In both cases, the end user would be able to search the online catalog using words, but in other respects, the two options are fundamentally different. In the first case, so making an index, the UDC is made accessible through the creation of an alphabetical subject index, which can be used to find the right code. The classification used by the University Library of Kiel, which we have mentioned here, is accessible in this manner. In the second case, the UDC ordering is used to group concepts into fields of study or subject areas as the starting point for constructing a thesaurus. Each UDC code is then transformed into a descriptor or descriptors, which best convey the concept represented by the code and the descriptors embedded in the thesaurus structure. An example of this is the ETH Bibliothek Zürich in Switzerland, which has used the UDC to develop thesauri in German, English and French. Now, whichever of those two options we chose, we thought it might be a good starting point to digitize the Dutch alphabetical card index, which I mentioned before. The resulting text file contains some 8,800 UDC codes, though not all of these were unique in the strict sense. About 2000, for example, were a combination of a particular code and a person's name, such as our use of the code 92, followed by the name of a person to classify biographies. After this digitizing exercise, we explored the first option, making an index to the UDC codes. We envisaged using the UDC master reference file, which would provide us with a number of descriptions in English. To this, we could then add Dutch descriptions from our own card file. Codes we used would have to be matched with the codes in the MRF, a process which could be automated, we hoped. The overlap with the MRF was estimated at about 60%. But this option proved more complicated than we anticipated. The terminology of the alphabetical index to the MRF would require a considerable amount of editing to turn it into a satisfactory retrieval language. At the least, it would be necessary to replace descriptions of phrases or phrases with more precise terms. In addition, a procedure would have to be developed for the codes we used, which did not match an MRF code. And furthermore, this option entails continued use of classification as the indexing language, contrary to the wish of the AC information specialists. So for these reasons, we finally decided to choose the alternative option, constructing a thesaurus using the AC UDC codes as a starting point. Now, this work started in 2001, and we began when the digitized card file of the UDC codes used in the library catalogue was imported into Multitest, a software program you will probably be familiar with. 5 years later, the Africa Studies thesaurus was ready for use, so that was 2006. Contains more than 12,000 terms, of which some 5,250 are preferred terms, the rest non-preferred terms, and it contains some 1,600 fewer descriptions than the UDC course source codes, and this is due mainly to upward posting, splitting of compound codes into component concepts, and the combining of codes from different classes. So this is the results, and we will show you where the African Studies thesaurus can be found on the web later on. But first, Marlene will continue with the exciting part, which is the challenges we faced.
Some of the main challenges we faced were conceptual, while others more directly concerned issues of thesaurus construction. The conceptual challenges arose from semantic differences between English and Dutch, and differences between a classification and a system based on words in a natural language. The fact that we were multitasking also created a certain amount of confusion, despite the fact that we were all women who were working on the project. Activities that were analytically distinct were, in practice, inextricably linked, and we undertook them simultaneously. This meant that while we were constructing a thesaurus, we were at the same time also setting up a concordance with the UDC codes from which the descriptors were derived. This was necessary because we wanted to convert all the UDC codes which we'd used into descriptors once the new thesaurus was completed. A further complicating factor for both thesaurus construction and the mapping of codes and descriptors was inconsistent classification practice over the years and shifts in the meaning and coverage of codes. And this meant that at the same time we were also reviewing ASC classifying practice. Besides these types of challenges, there were also challenges involving more specifically issues of thesaurus construction, and I will go into three in particular, including specificity of vocabulary, vocabulary control, and the organisation of country-related descriptors. Specificity of vocabulary and level of pre-coordination, that is, when to use a compound term and when to split it into simpler single terms, is generally acknowledged as one of the most difficult problems in thesaurus construction. So in our case, we spent a long time debating, for example, whether or not to include descriptors for specific instances of ethnic literature, such as Yoruba drama or Shona prose. We eventually decided not to, since otherwise we would have had to include a descriptor for every combination of ethnic group and literary genre. And we felt this would lead to a disproportionate number of descriptors, as well as requiring more attention in maintenance. Instead, as you can see from the user tip with the descriptor literature, we determined that publications about the literature of a particular ethnic group would be indexed with the descriptor for the ethnic group in combination with the descriptor for literature or for the specific genre in question. We also made fairly frequent use of upward posting, treating specific terms as if they are equivalent to their broader terms, especially in subject areas which are not the core of the library collection and where a low level of indexing specificity is sufficient. An example, as you see here, is felines with three non-preferred terms, cats, leopards, and lions. Vocabulary control was another thesaurus construction issue which we had to grapple with. This is inherent to a thesaurus, while in a classification, where a concept acquires its meaning by virtue of its position, it is of secondary importance. In our case, this was particularly evident in the case of polysemy. We dealt with this on a case-by-case basis. Where it concerned different ethnic groups or languages having the same name, we added the name of the country as qualifier, as you can see here for Ndebele language, which is spoken in both South Africa and Zimbabwe. Sometimes we were able to find alternative terms, for example, to distinguish between drugs of abuse and drugs used as medication. We use two separate descriptors, drugs and medicinal drugs. Vocabulary control also extends to the form of the term, such as the use of singular or plural, spelling, and choice of preferred and non-preferred terms. It's perhaps hardly surprising that almost a third of the terms in the African Studies thesaurus are the names of languages and peoples or ethnic groups. We included numerous cross-references to alternative names and variant spellings. For example, in the case of Fulfuldi, a language spoken in West Africa, there are 8 non-preferred terms. By comparison, only 2 of the non-preferred terms occur in the UDC master reference file, and the term Fulfuldi itself does not occur at all. The difference reflects the greater importance of vocabulary control for a thesaurus, where finding a suitable term for indexing or retrieval depends on searching in an alphabetical list rather than browsing in a hierarchy. Another issue which we had to grapple with was how to organise country-related descriptors. We felt that an especially relevant feature of an area studies thesaurus would be a country presentation of peoples, language, polities and political parties, as you can see here in the case of Ghana. Initially, we thought we could do this through a related term relationship. However, in most countries, this would have led to a long list of related terms in which the peoples, polities, languages and political parties were all mixed up, something which we felt was not particularly useful. The intercalation of node labels would have led to a more helpful order. Unfortunately, this was not an option because the thesaurus program we were using treated these labels as though they were descriptors for the purpose of constructing hierarchies, and this would have created incorrect hierarchies. We eventually dealt with this problem by introducing a set of four broad geographical headings for every African country, as you can see here again in the case of Ghana. These serve exclusively to group a country's peoples, languages, polities and political parties, and they're not used for indexing. Early on in the project, it became obvious that the complexity of the task prevented us from realising one of our goals, the construction of a multilingual Dutch-English thesaurus. However, the original Dutch terms from the alphabetical index to the UDC were imported into the thesaurus database and could be used to develop a full-blown Dutch version of the thesaurus. Another feature of the thesaurus which has yet to be realised is the systematic display of descriptors in broad subject categories. There are compelling reasons for completing this as yet, amongst others the advantages of a classification for subject browsing and the potential use of categories in mapping terms from multiple databases in order to provide integrated subject access to the ASC Digital Library. When constructing the thesaurus, each descriptor was assigned a code from the UDC master reference file, and preliminary work indicates that these codes can be used to present the African Studies thesaurus as a classification, providing a framework for the development of a broad subject ordering. It would be nice if we could generate this automatically, but it seems unlikely, and there are several reasons for this. In first case, because not all subclasses of the UDC are hierarchically related to their higher classes in the strict sense of the term. And unless the structure of the UDC notation reflects correct semantic relations, right truncation of UDC codes to create broader categories is not feasible. And this problem is compounded by the selective nature of the UDC classification produced on the basis of our thesaurus, because not all subclasses are represented, and the number of codes varies considerably between classes, with consequences for level of division and right truncation of codes. Another reason why we fear that it won't be able to do this automatically is that when we were constructing the thesaurus, we assigned UDC codes to descriptors without really having a preconceived broad subject ordering in mind. and undoubtedly we will need to shift some descriptors from one class or subclass to another when determining the subject categories. And once the broad subject ordering is completed, it will be necessary to choose a notation to represent the concepts in their filing order and for use in online subject searches. And in this case, connecting with the UDC notation would seem a logical choice. To round off, we've been using the thesaurus now for almost 3 years, and the respective advantages and disadvantages of a thesaurus and a classification are becoming increasingly obvious. As a word-based system, the thesaurus is far more user-friendly than a classification. Moreover, it expresses multi-hierarchical and associative relations not present in a classification, thereby facilitating the identification of relevant indexing terminology and improving subject access. On the other hand, a classification expresses relations not present in a thesaurus, such as subject categories or fields of studies. It allows for subject browsing and can be used to search for all publications in a particular category and also to monitor the library's collection profile. Our experience to date underlines the complementarity of a thesaurus and a classification as information languages for subject indexing and retrieval. The African Studies Thesaurus is available on the web, and web statistics indicate a steady and growing use. And with the development of a systematic display of the descriptors in broad subject categories, we hope to further enhance the value of the thesaurus as a tool for managing African Studies information resources. That's it.
So there is time for a question.
Why couldn't you include terms for subject disciplines and other subject categories in the thesaurus? You said it was one disadvantage that the thesaurus didn't have such terms in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, can you bring up that for the second to last slide? So you said the thesaurus does not have subject categories.
It doesn't have broad subject categories.
Why not?
Because we didn't put them into it. Because
that's
actually what we want to do now. We thought the thesaurus in itself would be sufficient, but we realise now that the value of having these broad subject categories, and we hope to be able to develop them on the basis of the UDC codes which we have assigned to the descriptors. I think maybe in the beginning of the project we were so overwhelmed by a number of issues that this sort of faded a bit into the background.
It wasn't seen as a priority.
I guess the people background for the question is there may not be as much difference between classification or thesaurus as people think, if there is any, if you do them both right.
Maybe. Although I think intuitively it does feel different using them, because in a thesaurus you're very much more scanning alphabetical lists in first instance when you first begin, whereas in a classification obviously you start with the discipline or the broad area and then you go from there.
Yeah, but you could argue whether it's a good idea to have a thesaurus use or scan alphabetical lists rather than lists arranged by meaning of terms.
But maybe it's a question of preference or what people are used to.
You could give them both options in the
same
system.
That's what we'd like to do.
Yeah.
I have a question. In the building of the thesaurus, you mean?
How many
just
people?
One FTE for 6 years?
Something like that.
Started between different persons.
There were actually three people who worked on it over different periods, but I guess if you accumulate their time, it would have been the equivalent of about one person full-time. 6 years. But it's obviously not something that you want to do by yourself, because it's very important to be able. There are always, at any one point, there are always two people working on it, but not four.
So the Taurus?
Were actually the UDC codes we were using, which were derived from the French edition of Class 3 of 1952, I think, and the Dutch edition of 1970. And the UDC codes which we have now assigned to the descriptors, they have been taken from the master reference file of, I think, of 2000.
And only used class 3?